Hello and welcome back to the Rear Winging It F1 podcast. I am one of your hosts, Harry McKay, and I'm joined by
Ellie Ledwell
and Mitchell Mannell.
Welcome back to round two. We're in Saudi Arabia, back to Jeddah. Obviously, last season, the penultimate race, first time racing there. It was a bit of a controversial one with the Max and Lewis incident and a bit of a destruction derby.
A demolition derby,
with a lot of people thinking that it wasn't very safe and why are we racing here.
It's a purpose-built street circuit, which doesn't quite make sense.
No.
Not much makes sense in Saudi, though.
That's true. I go back and forth between thinking it's a good track and a terrible track, but I think I have sort of come to the conclusion it should just be binned. I'll tell you why it should be binned. And not all of these were crashes, but Albon, DNF, Bottas, DNF, Alonso, DNF, Ricciardo, DNF, Latifi, DNF, Tsunoda, DNF, Mick Schumacher, DNF.
There was only 13 finishes, wasn't there?
13 finishes. Now, Mick Schumacher didn't start, Tsunoda didn't make it to the starting
but
line.
Do you watch racing for like the race itself or the crashes?
A crash every now and then to keep it spicy is okay, but
Abu Dhabi,
this is unsafe.
Yes, and I think a lot of the drivers complained about
the
it.
Safety.
It's too high speed to be a narrow street circuit.
Blind corners everywhere. Everything is a blind corner.
And like, with it being a new circuit, and I think the layout was changed slightly from last year, they're going into it literally blind. Yeah. They have no idea what's around. If someone breaks down or has a crash, you're going into it 200 miles an hour. You can't see it.
Yeah. Sport's gone soft.
Well, yeah. I mean,
we'll put you in the car and see how you do.
Oh, no, I get car sickness.
Take your tablet, jeez, you'll be fine.
Also, not just the whole human rights thing, which I know we've discussed before, so we won't return to that too much, but during qualifying, I believe it was, Max said at one point, "I can smell burning," and they're like, "Well, it's not the car, we can't see anything," and obviously like, oh dear.
It was free practice, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, it might have been practice actually. I was like, "Oh, the car's broken again." And then you could see quite a big plume of smoke out of some of the you know, cameras on the cars. There'd been a missile strike on the Aramco site
nearby,
you know, a couple miles away from the track. And considering that's the main sponsor of the track, it's the Saudi-owned oil company, it was a little bit worrying for the drivers. And so obviously they had this long meeting.
Went on till early hours of the night.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was quite a long, intense meeting. And they came to the conclusion they were going to keep racing.
I think that they took a bit of persuading, though, the drivers at first. Yeah. They were quite reluctant.
A bit of money.
I think it was pretty much, well, they were pretty much at the start adamantly against it. And by the end, they'd all agreed. I don't know what assurances they had. There was rumours that the government had said, you know, "We can assure you nothing else is going to come. You know, we've made a peace deal with them for the weekend," this kind of stuff. And you're like, how much is true, how much is not? I think they should not return there.
Yes, I agree. I don't think that it's... I know that people say that you can change the opinions of the people in the country by going there and showing them a different way. Mm. But is it up to us? They live by different rules. It's a different culture, a different society.
No,
do we need to go and change
sport
it?
Sport can do that.
I do agree sport can, but I think... And I think I mentioned before about soft power, and I think that's a good reason for going. Maybe the only reason, but it was a positive of going. But with it, like, your missile attacks a couple mile from the places. And I know loads of countries have human rights, but... And so sometimes you have to just put it aside, I guess, as awful as that sounds. You know, they could have been in danger. Mm. I don't think it's worth it.
I think they're at war. They are in a war with a country that borders them, you know. Like, it's right next door. The threat is very real, and I think it showed that. Why are you engaging in people, with people that are putting...
I mean,
you know, Yemeni people through such a bad humanitarian crisis?
We, you know, you saw the reaction, how quickly we dropped Russia and, you know,
and Mazepin.
Sochi and Mazepin and all this. It does feel a bit hypocritical when, you know, you have what amounts to basically genocide and it's not the same reaction because it's sort of normalised and it's, you know...
And because the British are selling almost them
government
the weapons.
I was going to say almost government endorsed by our lovely government. So, you know, I just think as fans, if we can make a bit of noise and say, hey, I know the sport's not perfect. In the world that we are, we can't be perfect. Every country's got issues, but if you can highlight the main ones, that's something.
I think safety is a very, very big issue because normally it's crashing when you're driving, not having a missile strike.
Exactly. Like Mario Kart.
It literally felt like it. People
yeah. that build
the bombs through. That you throw.
Even that's dangerous.
In our house.
Right, so returning to the race, put the rest of it aside. Did we think it was an improvement? Racing, actual, you know, overtaking, following, was an improvement on last race?
I thought the quality of racing had improved. Yeah, I think it was a bit more what we were looking for. I guess when the regulations changed, it was getting back to, like, I think what we wanted. Still not perfect, but...
Yeah, people were a bit closer. There was a bit more overtaking. We'll come to it, but the battles were a lot better. Would you agree, Mitch?
Yeah, sure.
So let's start with qualifying. I'll give you the top five. Perez, Leclerc, Sainz, Verstappen, Ocon. You'll notice no Mercedes in that top five. That's because, much to the heartbreak of Mitchell, I know, Hamilton did not get into Q2. Qualified P16.
Just embarrassing. The best qualifier, you know, that's factual. The best qualifier of all time, perhaps the best driver of all time, can't even get the car out of Q1. It speaks volumes. I think
they said the car setup was different, but Russell was P6. That's a 10 place gap. I don't think that has anything to do with Hamilton's driving. He could have had an off day. The man doesn't seem to, but he could have been an off day, but it seemed like the setups were different.
Harry, at least he still finished the race.
I think if you look at who won this race, 25 points in the bag for Verstappen, let's go.
Was he still above?
That's the same as Hamilton.
Is Hamilton still above him at the end of...
After this, probably.
No, not after this.
Perez, I mean, I know he had it in him, but P1, baby, qualified Q1, P1, how do we think about that?
I do like to see the number two drivers. I like to see him doing well. I like to see him beating the number one driver. Yeah. And some teams don't like to admit that they have a number one, but I think it's quite obvious. Perez is the number two, so I always like to see him beating Verstappen. So.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I was happy. Yeah. I think it's going to get better and better as he can go on. I'd like to see him get, if Max, you know, has a few more breakdowns potentially, maybe Perez giving, like, you know, a fair run.
Yeah, a proper challenge would be nice. Yeah.
And not be known as Max's two.
Yeah.
And be like, you know.
Because, I mean, we've seen him, a fantastic driver, and it's always been qualifying that has been a bit of his weakness. So putting it on pole is quite a big statement for that.
Definitely.
Yeah, I don't want him to go down, like, be like the Bottas of when he was at Mercedes, you know, just being number two of Hamilton.
Yeah, no one wants that really, do they?
Except the team. I think the teams enjoy having, like, a quiet number two, one that gets the results but doesn't...
Not going to moan about it.
I say, to be honest, Bottas was probably a hindrance to...
I think Bottas is like the best number two driver that the sports have ever had.
He was a good number two driver, but...
I think as we're more removed from it, people look back and think, geez, why didn't he get the respect that he...
Yeah.
But like last season, he's qualifying 11 to 12.
Yeah, sometimes he does...
No, he's a good driver. I'm a fan of him.
He's got weaknesses.
No, yeah.
To win 8 consecutive... like constructors' championships, you have to have two good. I know they had their car was the main thing, but they did have to have two good drivers.
So. And I mean, qualified P8 here, another good result in the Alfa Romeo. So, I mean, he was great at Williams. He's doing good now. I think he's a good driver.
He does have a rookie alongside him.
Yeah.
So that could be.
No, I've always seen him as a really good driver. He just had a poor season, definitely last season, and yeah.
So coming to the race, I'll give you some of the main highlights. So obviously Tsunoda and Mick didn't start. Schumacher had that big crash, and he's all right, but decided not to race. I think mostly for the car. you know, another crash, and I think that would have been most of their
would have been their budget with the car.
Gone, yeah.
And also, I think he was probably in a bit of pain. It was quite.
It was quite a bad one.
Quite a high impact. Yeah.
Nothing painkillers can't fix.
I don't know if you're meant to drive on painkillers that strong.
Dope him up and put him in. Let's go. So Perez starts off, keeps first place. He's obviously very good at defense, but it was still very nervous. But there he goes. Max starting in fourth, overtakes Sainz quite nicely. First lap. That was pretty much that from the start. Lap five, this is where we get the first signs of better racing, I think, with the two Alpines. You know, same car, they're neck and neck. It comes down to driver skill.
The team, like, let them race, which I think was nice to see. Because sometimes they are worried they're going to crash into each other, especially on the street circuit
especially
like
when you've
this.
Got two pink cars in the street circuit. My mind's going back and it starts to panic, but... different drivers is all right. Well, Ocon's different, still there, I guess. Yeah. But and it was sort of right to be nervous because at one point Alonso was almost forced into the wall. But I think it was let go as a sort of racing incident. But he you know, he carried on going, so it was all right. That was, you know, about a three-lap struggle, I think, and it went on a bit later. Mm-hmm. But Alonso did take the position in the end. And then his car broke later, but we'll come to that. Lap 15, it was fairly boring, really standard stuff apart from the Alpine up to then. The Ferrari team comes out to pit, but because Perez was in front, the undercut didn't seem like it was going to be very good. I know they were talking about that. But Ferrari went for it. Their strategy teams haven't been good in the past, but it worked here. Perez went into the pits. Leclerc stayed out. And then Latifi, everyone's favourite driver, just like last season, just like last year.
The same place.
Same place. Time is a circle. He crashes.
Yeah.
Screws Perez over. He was the only one that had pit, so everyone else goes into the pit. Means Perez is down in fourth. Just unlucky, really.
It is always bad luck.
Mm-hmm. Should've won it early.
Yeah, he deserved it. Didn't put a foot wrong. It's still a long way to go, but
good for him.
I reckon it would have been his.
At one point, I thought Hamilton, the way he's got moving through cars, he had a chance.
Well, he got. I don't know if it was this one or later on, but he did get messed up. He went to pit, I think.
No, the safety car messed him up as well.
Yeah, this was later on, I think, when Ricardo's car was sort of in the way.
Yes.
And he couldn't. The pits just closed. So that he was unlucky. He was unlucky. But on the restart, Leclerc is leading, and he leads for the next 20 laps, so it's fairly standard there. Lap 36 is when it all starts to go a bit wrong. Alonso's car breaks down, loses power. Ricardo loses power. I think it was an overheating issue for a lot of them. You know, with the new cars, the reliability isn't so good. Bottas goes into the pits for the third time. He retires. And then, lap 42 to 46, four laps of just, you know, two greats of their next generation. This is what we wanted.
The future.
Max and Leclerc trading places for the lead. Did this excite you, this?
It did excite me, but... I don't know. As a McLaren fan, it's not the same.
I know my dad was just depressed at this point. He was seeing Mercedes what was going on with Mercedes. Yeah, I mean, I would have loved, like I said, all four teams going for it. But you know, I wanted Max over Leclerc, so that gave me a bit of reason to root for the fight. But
yes.
I was just as invested in the two Alpines, so I think it's just nice to see.
Yeah,
close
it's
racing.
Nice to see the racing being a bit tighter.
Mm-hmm.
Once that happens, Max goes on, lap 50, wins the race. But once again, Ocon and Norris fighting to the very bitter end. I think it was here last year, Ocon was doing a similar sort of drag race to the finish line and just missed out on a podium. This time, though, he takes sixth, beats Norris. Norris gets seventh. So nice little fight at the end there as well, which was quite nice and good for Ocon.
Yeah.
Fifth. So overall, did we like the race? Did we think it was a good one?
I thought it was better, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like the last two side races I've enjoyed.
They've definitely been...
The drivers haven't, but...
Yeah, they've definitely been intense. They've been some of the most, you know, on-edge races, but I don't know if it's for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, if it was the same race on maybe the same track or maybe a track that's a bit safer, but in a different country, I think it'd be a bit different.
Yeah.
The next thing we know, they're going to have a race like Mariupol.
The gap between Verstappen and Leclerc was only half a second when they crossed the line. And then obviously Norris and Ocon, they had their sprint finish. So I think, because, you know, we've had it seasons before where there'd be like a massive, massive gap between drivers finishing first and second or third and fourth or whatever it was. And I think it's nicer to see it close to the end as opposed to just close at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice that so far, it's only two races, but we haven't had any, you know, snooze fest kind of races where, you know, especially last regulation change. I know you said previously their cars aren't as close as we wanted, but it seems like there's not a Mercedes situation where one engine or one car is so far in front they have to turn it down.
Yeah.
Which is good. We want everyone to be pushing and not coasting along. Driver of the day. Driver of the day, who are we thinking?
I'll go for Perez. I think he was unlucky. I think he was, you know, racing very well. And he's got unlucky. I think he would have won as well.
He was good all weekend as well.
Yeah, it was consistent.
Not even, plus qualifying. Yeah. He's just a bit unlucky, that's all.
Yeah.
I'm going for Ocon because I think he did really well against Alonso. I know that Alonso did, like, win the battle, but I think, obviously, the golfing experience is massive between the two of them. I know I go on about Ocon quite a bit, but I think he's doing really well against Alonso. I didn't think he'd
measure up. I mean, he does get the luck. I mean, his car didn't explode like Alonso, but still, I do rate him.
Yes.
I'm going to go for Hamilton.
Ooh.
No, I'm just joking.
Oh, okay. I was quite confused.
He was unlucky, but... and the car setup obviously wasn't his fault.
There was a radio message where he said, "I never get the luck with safety cars," which I thought was quite funny. After last season,
I was gonna say it's been twice here that he hasn't been so lucky. But in the past, Hamilton's had plenty of blessed luck. You know, he's had his time.
The conclusion to last season, he got quite lucky, didn't he?
Last season, but when you've won seven, I think you can pack it in. You've probably had some luck.
He's won eight, really, but...
Yeah, we all know he's won eight.
Hülkenberg in 12th was quite good for, stepping in for Vettel again.
Yeah, for the Aston as well. It's not looking...
No, mostly because six cars retired and that's why he was 12th, but still.
Yeah. Yeah, when you only have 13 finishes, it's not hard to finish 12th because they were 12th and 13th, the two Aston Martins, so plum last.
Plum last, yeah. but he beat Stroll, which was funny. So that's a win, really. I'm going to give it joint to Verstappen and Leclerc for that battle because I loved it. I loved it. It was good. It's what I wanted.
You can't do that. It's I'm doing it. Day on drivers.
Drivers. That's my.
We'll just pick all 13 and you finished.
Yeah.
Can't stop me. That's what I'm doing. Next time. We're going to Australia, where the racing season should start.
Yes.
So please do join us for that one. Any closing thoughts, Ellie?
No.
Yeah? Mitchell?
Not really.
We got a very salty McLaren fan and a very salty Mercedes fan.
I'm not Mercedes anymore.
Ferrari.
This has been the Rear Winging It podcast, the home of the world's biggest Ferrari fans. We'll see you all next time. Goodbye.
They even hit the races off.